Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the water of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, and praise you just for being able to come before you once again. Thanking you, Lord God, for another day that you have made. And we can say this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we magnify your wonderful name, and we bless your name forever and ever. It was you, Lord God, who saved us. It's you, Lord God, who gave your son as a ransom for many. He laid down his life that we might have a right to the tree of life on today. And for this, we give all of the praise to the Lamb which was slain before the foundations of the world. And Lord God, as we come before you on today, I ask of you, Lord God, that you look upon your people. I pray, Lord God, that you would meet their every need. Lord God, there's so much going on in the world today. But Lord God, we acknowledge you, Lord God, as being the one that have all power in your hand. Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way. I pray, Lord God, that you would come against the enemy and his devices. I pray, Lord God, that you would still, Lord God, the movement and the works of the devil. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would curse the very root and foundation of evil. Lord God, loose your peace. Lord God, loose your joy. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that his yokes would be destroyed upon your people. And Lord God, that you would set captives free. Lord God, that you would bring about a mighty deliverance, Lord God, that somebody need right now. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, that you would hear the cries of your people. Lord God, and help them in that right early. Lord God, I know, Father in heaven, that we can make it. Lord God, not by power nor by might, but by your spirit, Lord. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Heavenly Father, as we come before you on today, read the tables of our heart. And Lord God, I pray that you would hear our prayers and our petitions, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God, that you would bless our souls. And Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's so wonderful to be able to come before you. Amen. Another day. This is another blessed day. Amen, that the Lord God has made, and I'm just grateful. Amen, the theme, amen, for every day that we're able to wake up is just to be grateful and thankful, praise God, because of all of the wonderful things, amen, that God has done and he continues to do. Amen, so we just thank God, amen, for another time that we can, amen, come before him. It's just so much going on in the world today, and sometimes you just want to go somewhere and hide. But nonetheless, we know that we are certainly living in the last days and that Jesus is soon to come. And I know that perhaps people get tired of hearing the preacher say that, but we have to remind everyone that we come in contact with that a lot of things that we see happening today are in line with the prophetic. Amen. So it behooves all of us to get closer to the eternal and be ready when Jesus comes. Today we will be found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And I will begin to read in your hearing. And it says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there were no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plains of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner." May God bless us through this, the reading of His holy word. And today we're going to speak from the subject, and it has to be your own personal testimony or your own personal affirmation. I am doing a great work for the Lord and will not stop until it is finished. Amen. The objective of today's lesson is to impart a spiritual truth that when you are called to do a work for the Lord, there will be opposition. Secondarily, to give insight on how to counteract the enemy's attack and successfully finish the work that you were assigned. Now, according to Newton's law, which is one of the laws of physics, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It is to say that when you push against something, you will be met with the same force or resistance from whatever you are pushing against. The same principle can be applied when it comes to the spirit world. Whenever someone makes up their mind to move forward in a positive direction, there are entities that will push back against you to hinder your progress or to impede your ability to achieve success. The Apostle Paul declared in his writings, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." As children of God, we will never be free of the unseen enemy whose objective is to checkmate us so that we can move no further. When you are called according to his purpose, you will be targeted more than most because the adversary sees you as a potential threat to his kingdom. Nothing would please him more than to see the work of the Lord end in failure. In order to be successful in anything that you endeavor to do, you must first have a determination that you will not allow anything to stop you. It means navigating through negativity and any insecurities that you may have. It means navigating through ridicule and the criticism of others. It means never losing sight of your dreams and your visions. It is easy to lose focus when you feed into pessimism. How many of you have ever had a dream or a vision that you just let die? There's a song that someone wrote back in my day entitled, "Nothing Comes to Sleepers But a Dream." And I believe what the writer meant by that is, as long as a dream is in your head, it is only a dream. There has to be some actions taken in order to make your dreams a reality. How many of you have ever set plans into actions but could not handle the pushback, and you let your dreams die because you were discouraged, and so you relented, and because you were able to overcome the obstacles that came your way, you just gave up. When it comes to the servants of the Lord, it is important to understand that things perceived as obstacles should not deter you, because the Lord has already made the provision. Two things that people sometimes see as obstacles are finances and resources. But when you have been assigned a task, and it is by the inspiration of God, the only thing He requires you to do is to step out on faith. As written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, "But the just shall live by his faith." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Not according to what we see, but we act on what God said. When you step out on faith without reservations, it signifies that you have put your trust in a sovereign God and believe that He will bring it to pass. You will not have to worry about finances or how you will get the resources. Psalms 24 and 1 declares, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein." He said in the book of Psalms, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills." Whatever you need, God has got it. And the way has already been made. As the Apostle Paul stated in Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Some people set themselves up for failure because they're looking at the wrong things. They start looking at the lack of funds or the lack of help, which opens up the door to doubt. But a child of God must see through the eyes of faith. And faith dictates that with God, all things are possible. So when the Lord commissions you to do a work, trust and rely on Him. You are only an instrument that He intends to use, but it is God that will do the work. Amen. So when we look into the scripture text on today, the book of Nehemiah, we find, is closely associated with the book of Ezra, because both books took place after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. So at the conclusion of Ezra, there is continuity in the narrative found in the book of Nehemiah. Ezra records the return to Jerusalem under Zerubbabel, by the decree of Cyrus, and of a remnant who laid the temple foundations. The post-captivity books deals with a feeble remnant that had a heart for God. And the point to be made here is that the Lord is less concerned about the size of congregation. What matters most to him is having people that have a heart for ministry and willing to serve him with a pure heart. Some preachers believe that the success of a ministry is in numbers, but God does not see as man see. If there is an assembly of people gathered in his name, no matter how small, he can still do great exploits through them as long as they have the willingness to serve him. Nehemiah's work began 14 years after the return of Ezra to Jerusalem. And while he was a cupbearer to the king of Persia, he heard the news that the walls and the gates of Jerusalem were still in disarray. Nehemiah received permission from King Artaxerxes to travel to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. The returned remnant had already rebuilt the temple, but they were in need of protection. And it was important for the city to be fortified because without the walls, it would leave the people defenseless against enemies and open to every kind of attack. The wall was also a physical symbol that the Jewish nation was an established people. So in chapter 2, we learn that the hand of the Lord was upon Nehemiah, and that the Lord put it in his heart to go to Jerusalem and view the ruined wall. It had laid waste for decades, and one might suppose that it was going to be a daunting task to restore it. Nehemiah knew that the undertaking of such a task could not be the work of one man. So he stirred the people, saying, "Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." After he encouraged them, the people said, "Let us rise and build." So they strengthened their hands for this work. Let the record show that it is God that made this provision. Nehemiah did not know who would be willing to help, but first and foremost, God was his help, and he appointed people that would be instrumental in getting the job done. So it goes to show that when the Lord gives you an assignment, you don't have to worry about where your help is coming from. The Lord will send people your way that have a mind to work. Don't be afraid to run with the vision that God gave you. As long as you run, he will send the right people who will catch hold of the vision and run along with you. When we get to chapter 4, here is where the man of God encountered his first opposition of ridicule. Sanballat, who was a Samaritan leader and official of Persia, teamed with Tobiah, an Ammonite official, to mock and ridicule the feeble Jews for their efforts. They began to say such things: "Will they fortify themselves? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of this rubbish which are burned? Even that which they build, If a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Sanballat and Tobiah are what we would call naysayers. They were not visionaries, so the only thing that they saw were impossibilities. How are you going to build a wall from that rubbish? The naysayers considered Nehemiah and the people as stupid and counted the work that they were doing a waste of time. But Nehemiah was not moved. As a man of faith, he looked past what others believed to be impossible and trusted in the ableness of God. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4, he countered the negativity through prayer. And some people think that prayer is overrated, but prayer is a valuable resource. It is in instances like these, you know, in times of distress, amen, that will give you an instant connection between you and God. Your greatest encouragement comes from Him and not from man. Through prayer, He will guard your heart and your mind and not allow hate-filled words or words of critics to be sown in your spirit. Through prayer, He will give you the strength needed to overcome your enemies and finish the work that you began. And after the man of God prayed, in verse 6 it reads, "So build we the wall." These men did not deter them, but in record speed, the builders completed the wall to half of its height. When Sanballat and Tobiah heard the progress concerning the wall, they were very wroth. They were really beside themselves. So the next opposition that Nehemiah faced was of threat and violence. These men conspired to join forces and entice other neighboring people to fight against Jerusalem and hinder the work by slaying the builders. Verse 9 reads, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night." This prayer put the people and their cause under divine protection. Now, the scripture also makes known that for a brief moment, the builders did get discouraged by the words and threats of their adversaries. But Nehemiah encouraged them during that time, saying, "Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight." Though he had faithful followers, it did not mean that they would remain strong. But a good leader will never fail to remind his followers of the greatness of God. He did not allow them to go down, but he encouraged them to look up. Even in Christendom, we find that some saints are stronger than others. But as Paul stated in the book of Romans chapter 15 and 1, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." Sometimes the saints need to be encouraged and reminded that no matter what they are up against, God is greater. He will subdue and conquer all of your enemies. So keep looking up. In verse 15 it reads, "And it came to pass enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one of us to his work. So the builders were determined that they would not stop the work until it was finished. And if by chance they came under attack, they readied themselves to fight. The scripture says in chapter 4, verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side. They were builders, but also God's warriors. When we get to chapter 6, after being challenged and experiencing internal and external opposition, Nehemiah and the builders overcame all of the pushback and accomplished what was thought to be impossible. But the enemy had to try one more time. At this point, Nehemiah had gained more than one enemy. Beginning at verse 1 of our lesson text again, it reads, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it to come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. In chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, it reads, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, which is interpreted as September 25th, and it was completed in 52 days. Here the naysayers and the critics thought that they were out of their minds and that they would fail. And they completed that wall in record speed in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all of our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathens that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought by our God. It was a in-your-face moment to all of the doubters and the naysayers. They had to eat humble pie and acknowledge that this work was accomplished by the hand of the Lord. Look at Jesus. So in conclusion, when you accept your calling and commission, oppositions comes with the territory. But when you are a faithful servant such as Nehemiah, nothing that the enemy do will intimidate you. The account of Nehemiah shows that his dependency on God and prayer helped him to overcome all of the hurdles. These two things combined is the greatest counteroffensive against the enemy. We also learned that the enemy will do all that he can to draw the people of God away from their assigned work. But we must be just as resolute as Nehemiah was and let our adversaries know that I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? I will not come down to your level. I will not come down to your devices. I will not lower my standards. I am doing a great work for the Lord, and I will not stop until it is finished. And this should be where we are, saints of God. We have so much against us today, but the word of God comes to let each and every one of you know that if God be for us, who can be against us? I will not stop until it is finished. Amen. Amen. And amen. Be blessed, people of God. And amen.